There's a new bill under consideration and actually close to being passed in California. It's being dubbed the Must Stay Gay Bill. We're going to talk about that right now with Peter Sprigg, who is a senior fellow for policy studies at the Family Research Council. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point. Peter, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Jerry.
Sure. All right, so tell us about this bill, which hasn't passed yet, but it's in the works and is getting very close to being so.
Yes, this is called AB 2943, and it's actually the second round of attacks in California upon what we like to call sexual orientation change efforts, which is usually referred to by its critics as conversion therapy. These are, a range of therapies or counseling practices that help people who experience unwanted same-sex attractions. Back in 2012, California became the first state to put a legislative restriction on this type of therapy by prohibiting sexual orientation change efforts by licensed mental health providers for minor clients, for clients under the age of 18. But this bill would greatly expand this restriction. It would apply to any type of counselor, including religious counselors who are not licensed mental health providers, as long as they receive a fee, and it would apply to clients of any age. So what they're doing here is trying to declare this type of therapy or counseling to be a form of consumer fraud. So it's really very, very draconian and shocking that the legislature is considering this.
Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he talks about, and he says, you know, don't be deceived, such and so will not inherit the kingdom of God, and he includes in that list homosexuals. And then he goes on to say, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified. In other words, you've been regenerated, and you've been changed in that respect. And again, he includes homosexuals in that list. And so there are, as you well know, I mean, you have in your work at the Family Research Council, you've even had former homosexuals and former lesbians who've actually worked there at the Family Research Council. So who is the California state, legislature to say that somebody can't change if they want to change or if God converts their hearts?
Well, exactly. And there are a lot of there are a lot of stereotypes that are raised about this type of therapy. You know, they say that, the therapists guarantee that you'll change or that you'll change completely. I want to emphasize nobody guarantees anything. No therapist or just like no medical doctor can guarantee that you will never have a problem.
Or
again.
No minister.
No minister as well. There are degrees of change. Sexual orientation is on a continuum. And so a person who experiences a reduction in their same-sex attractions and an increase in opposite-sex attractions may consider this to be successful, even if they don't. It's not like flipping a switch, where you go from 100% gay to 100% straight or something. But people should have the freedom to seek that type of help if they want it. And this is an assault upon both freedom of speech and freedom of religion. One thing I wanted to mention that is astonishing about this bill, because of the way that consumer fraud is defined, it applies to both not only to services such as therapy, but to goods. The consumer fraud statute applies to the sale of goods and services. And the definition of sexual orientation change includes not only an effort to change someone's attractions, but to change their behaviors. So because of these two facts, that it applies to the sale of goods and it applies to trying to change behaviors, this is what has led some people to say this bill could not only affect, therapists and counselors, but could prohibit the sale of certain books. It could effectively be a book ban for books that promote abstaining from homosexual conduct. including, as you mentioned, the Bible itself. Now, I don't think that's the most likely outcome here. I don't think that California officials are going to go out and try to lock people up for trying to sell the Bible. But that's how sweeping this bill is, that it could at least theoretically be applied to something like that.
But it seems like it's gotten pretty far. I mean, the fact that it was accepted in the California version of their House of Representatives, the Assembly, and now I guess it's under consideration, or the Senate voted, and you said that they amended it. In their amending process, did they address any of these, you know, real hard case issues, you know, like, hey, don't ban the Bible or anything like that?
Well, they were trying to address that and they changed the language a little bit to include the word services to try to make it limited to services rather than goods. But the overall definition, the part of the legal code in which it's placed, deals with goods and services, and they didn't amend that. So I'm not convinced that the amendment they offered, although it was an attempt to deal with this idea of it being applied to the Bible or to books, I'm not convinced that they were even successful in changing that. But they are simply, well, they're operating on, again, a distorted picture of what actually happens in this sexual orientation change efforts, and that it involves coercion or that it involves a guarantee of success and so forth. The ironic thing is if that's what they were really concerned about, there would be a very simple way in the counseling profession to deal with that, and it's something called informed consent. And you could just have a form that people would be required to sign before they begin the therapy saying, I understand that there is no guarantee that this will be successful, I am doing this voluntarily. No one is coercing me to do this. And that would address the issues of coercion and of a fraudulent guarantee. But that's not the way the bill is written. The bill is written to prohibit this based on the goal of the therapy. If the goal is to achieve change in any of the components of sexual orientation, then it's illegal. It's the goal itself that makes it illegal. And that's what's so shocking about this.
What about the pursuit of happiness? I mean, what if somebody wants a change? You know, and I know, there are these different ex-gay ministries around. A lot of times they're associated with churches. I'm sure there are some in California. In fact, I think Exodus, which pulled the plug a few years ago, but out of the ashes of Exodus grew another group that actually contained some of the former members of Exodus called Restore Hope International and Restore Hope Network, and they're still going around and doing their stuff, and I'm sure there's chapters in California. How could this law come into being? I mean, it just seems so unconstitutional and also un-American. I mean, again, we have the right to pursue happiness. I mean, the left is always saying, hey, if you don't like it, turn the switch. If you don't like this, you know, don't partake in these behaviors. But now they're saying you must partake in these behaviors, and if you don't, we're going to punish you.
Yes, well, there's a couple of aspects of that. First of all, they claim that, oh, this is based on the idea that homosexuality is a mental illness, and that's a construct or a theory that's been, you know, discredited by the mental health professions for decades, ever since the American Psychiatric Association removed homosexuality from its list of mental disorders in 1973.
Can I stop you right there, Peter? Because I once interviewed, yeah. I interviewed a guy, Dr. Charles Socarides, and was there, and he was a part of the leadership, and he saw what happened. He said basically these homosexual activists got hold of the stage and the microphones, and they blew whistles and stuff, and they wouldn't let us proceed with our proceedings until we just went ahead and made this pronouncement. This pronouncement was not made because of any kind of actual studies showing, oh, homosexuality is just as fine for you as heterosexuality. You know, no, it wasn't based on that. It was based on raw muscle power of, you know, coercion and, you know, in-your-face tactics and that kind of thing. And he was there. He saw it. And now I brought that up one time on a panel, and this, you know, somebody shot me down and said, yeah, well, his son turned out to be gay. Well, that doesn't mean what he said wasn't true, but go on.
Right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That decision was political in nature. It really wasn't a scientific decision. But we can set that aside because it's not necessary to assert that homosexuality is a mental illness to justify this therapy. The only thing we need to know is that there are some people who experience same-sex attractions as unwanted. And that should be enough. If this is what the client wants to change, then it doesn't matter whether it's an illness or not. They should be able to get help achieving the goal that they set for themselves.
Good point.
And you mentioned, you know, there are in the literature, there are records of both secular people and religious people who have successfully changed. But the fact is that the majority of people, especially now when this therapy has been so bad-mouthed generally, it's primarily religious people who seek to do this. And so what they're being told is if they want help to live their life in a way that is, suppose this person has Christian convictions, but they also have same-sex attractions. They know that Scripture teaches that it's wrong to engage in homosexual conduct. All they want is help to live their lives in a way that is consistent with the teachings of their faith. And they're being told, no, we're going to make that illegal for you to pay someone to get help to live your life in accordance with the teachings of your faith. That's a shocking infringement upon religious freedom. Now, the one thing you mentioned it being unconstitutional, and there was a recent decision involving pregnancy centers where the California had tried to order pregnancy centers to basically advertise for abortions. And that was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. And they said, there is no exception to free speech for so-called professional speech. And they mentioned this issue. And so this was a hint in Justice Thomas's decision that the Supreme Court may be prepared to strike down this type of therapy ban. That ought to be a warning sign for the California legislature that what they're doing is unconstitutional, but they don't seem to be heeding the warning.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? That's California, of course, is the home of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which gets overturned more than any other of the courts of appeals around the country. It's very, very liberal, based in San Francisco. And by the way, when I think about this, in a very real sense, Peter, we could say this, couldn't we? That in 2012, California passed a law preventing professional counselors to deal with, you know, conversion out of, you know, being homosexual. Okay. And then 2018, they're trying to do the same thing, only this time, instead of curtailing the professional counselors from engaging in this, they're trying to do that from religious counselors and pastors. So basically, you must stay gay. I mean, I think that bill moniker fits well.
Yes. I mean, that's shocking because nothing in this bill is any kind of attack on people who identify as gay and are happy being gay. This therapy has nothing to do with them. It has no effect on them. And yet they want to interfere with the freedom of people who have a different perspective and seem to want to lock people into a gay identity. And that's what's so disturbing about this.
Yeah, so it's like the pursuit of happiness. We have the right to the pursuit of happiness as long as that path of happiness is that which the liberals or the left approves. I mean, really, this is crazy. Anything you want to say that to close out this little segment on this issue?
Well, I'll just mention that part of the reason we're talking is because I posted an opinion piece about this last week on the Daily Signal. And so people, if they want to read more about it, and it's got a number of links in that piece. So go to dailysignal.com and you should be able to find that piece posted there.
All right. Peter Sprigg of the Family Research Council. Thanks so much for joining us, sir. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.